I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles, and we're halfway to 100 episodes!
Oh my god, how are we at episode actual 50?
No!
Do we get a letter from the Queen at 100?
No, there currently isn't a monarch, so...
Erida will send you an email.
I'm David Knight, your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined by my beautiful cast, and I'm sure that they will join me in thanking every single one of you for travelling with us for 50 episodes.
Thank you, guys.
So much Woo. More to look forward to.
You are all honorary abracalads.
Abracalads!
Right, let's get to the inevitable shenanigans, shall we?
Yes.
Cue the theme tune!
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and D20.
Let's play D&D.
Your haggard character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative. Brandish your blades. Don't fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is your story. No guts, no glory. Confront your fate with every roll. Every
inside, one who will pay the price. Their chance of success all rests upon the dice. No risk too great, no choice too bold.
This is No Small Roles.
So, after being told by Flash that they did not have the tea caddy, Juna cast a Zone of Truth as well as Detect Thoughts and learned from the halfling that it had been passed to Hoot and likely taken to the carpet factory. As Flash was arrested, Alfie admitted that not only did their book of notes contain ways to mass-produce frosting, but also ways to neutralize or enhance it. Meanwhile, Enkidu and Gaius interrogated Agala, who unfortunately teleported away. You all gathered back at the Knotted Strings, and together with Gwendolyn, you plotted your approach. It was decided that Orin would disguise himself as Flash and deliver Alfie to the carpet factory, with the others waiting outside for a signal in case of trouble. The plan started smoothly, with Orin and Alfie gaining access before heading upstairs, where you interrupted Malleus in the middle of a business transaction. Malleus was unhappy with Alfie, but was willing to accept their penance for the price of a severed finger. At a note from Orin, everyone flew feet first into the room. Alfie grabbed the caddy, Enkidu grabbed Orin, Gaius was gouged with a greatsword before grabbing a pile of paperwork, and as everybody leapt out of the broken window, a smoke bomb, a flaming sphere, and a fire elemental battery were launched inside, igniting the entire building. You dashed away to the edge of the city, and after Enkidu confirmed the location of any last hex hideouts in the city, Alfie passed Orin the formula to neutralize frosting, receiving a page from Orin's notebook in return. And that's where we pick it up. So Alfie has...
No horses were harmed in the making of the last episode.
Saved the horses.
No, you saved the horses.
Just a city burned.
Yeah.
Alfie has exited the city whilst you're still stood on the outskirts. By this point, it's sort of the sun has set, we'll say. It's probably looking at like sort of 8 o'clock in the evening. So it's dark, but you know, there's across the city, you can see people's lights, certain lanterns, flames and smoke from various buildings.
Oh, oh no.
Tra-la-la-la-la.
Let's leave.
I think our time in Medrivane is done, and perhaps if we make our way to Vernock Rise, we might be able to get ourselves in a slightly better position. What do you think?
Yeah, I was going to suggest trying to get the other spoon with the bell tower and the bell lifting and everything, but I don't know if that's a good idea.
Well, we just don't know how long the bell tower is going to be there, you know, because it might be a light within like the next 2 minutes.
That's true. No one else might be able to get that spoon either. So Touché. That's the good news.
Maybe this fire will hold up all the other teams as well. So, you know, we've got a head start.
We can earn spoons in Vernock Rise, can't we?
We can do two in Vernock Rise, I think.
Great.
Two.
And then we can set fire to Vernock Rise and then the people can't get there.
No more fire.
No more fire.
And Keely just looks at Guy at the corner of his eye like... You're not allowed to speak my thoughts out loud.
Oh, it's nice seeing you two get on again.
Burn Dravaine to the ground.
I can just see the fire glinting in Kidu's eyes reflected. Filmic.
This is the darkest timeline.
Well, how's everybody feeling? Do we want to maybe even start making a move under the cover of darkness just in case any of those members of the Hex are on? After us now?
I think they've fled the city by now with their laboratories up in smoke. They've got no claim, nothing to gain here. But yeah, it would be good to watch our backs as we go.
Yeah, we're quite good at a camp out. We might as well leave now and see how far we get.
Yeah, good idea.
Once we get too tired, just get as far away as we can for the moment.
Yeah, just in case anyone, you know, also was looking for who set the city on fire. You know.
Yeah. Or we can use the stars to help navigate us.
Yeah, just keep the smoke behind us and we're probably heading the right way.
Sure. Great.
Yeah.
To Vernock Rise.
Oh,
to Vernock Rise. I would like to say, baby David, I would like to, from this point, start casting Find Familiar to get Ruana back.
Again, you can't do that whilst you're travelling.
Okay.
But at your first camp, 100%, like, sit and do your ritual. That's a question. So if you're all heading out... at nighttime, you're kind of on the southwestern side of Medrivane. So are you heading straight south? Are you trying to find a road that's leading you toward Vernock Rise? Any specific signs and stuff? Or are you just heading in a direction and hope, like, figure out in the morning?
Probably a road would be really helpful just to gain speed rather than going through the wilderness.
Just a thought. The way, if we're heading to Vernock Rise, which sounds like a good idea, I don't know if we're all happy with that. That's maybe something we just need to have a quick chat about, but we might end up going through Rostall.
Are you joking?
It's sort of on the way, if I recall.
I mean, Enkidu, if you're feeling a bit flamey, that might be quite a good thing to get out of your system at Rostall.
I mean, we don't have to go into the town. We can just skirt around it, right?
Yeah,
we could always avoid the town.
We could just, go to the, kiosk. Say hi, get a souvenir, then go around.
Though some part of me wonders how the rumours that we left behind would take hold. What's happened.
Yeah, it would be nice to see, like, you know, a month later and seeing what's the flavour of the town now.
Yeah, and if I recall correctly, the Faceless Footman wasn't there anymore, probably.
No.
They've gone off in a carpet.
They could be anywhere.
They could be in Vernock Rise for all we know.
Could be anywhere.
Or Fallless Vale, or even here in Medrivane.
I've just realised I've confused Rostall and Burien Fields.
Oh. No, Burien Fields is Rostall, southwest of Vernock Rise.
Okay. Thanks, Ben.
The Faceless Footman supposedly went northeast at the city, but could have ended up in Medrivane or Fallless Vale or anywhere in between, or could be anywhere by this time.
So we skirt around Rostall and keep our eyes peeled for the Faceless Footman, but I am on board with leaving it be.
Yeah.
I think that sounds like a good plan.
And are we all happy heading to Vernock Rise?
Well, I think the sooner we can get the information to Heron, the more you know, there's somebody else who has all this information about Erida as well, that, you know, we can share it and there's more brains on it. We can also meet the professor and get some funds that might help us, you know, move around a bit faster if we could get some sort of steed or something.
And just so I'm clear as well, he said he wanted the information in person, right? He didn't.
Yes.
You know, we can't trust the airwaves, so to speak.
No.
Well, there's too much to be told, really.
Also, his gnome friend might be there, and I'm quite eager to meet this person.
Also, another important point. We told Heron in our last communication that one of us had died.
We didn't say one of us had died. We were quite vague on saying...
We lost a life.
We lost a life.
We did lose Bessie.
So it's sort of your call, Enkidu, mm-hmm. how we handle that.
We got a few days yet until we arrive there.
Yeah. Let me think on this.
See if you trust him enough.
Let's walk and talk.
Let's walk and talk.
I'm assuming we've been walking, right?
Yeah.
Oh, look, the path.
Oh, look, the path. Yeah.
Oh, look, they're not right.
So as you sort of skirt around the city, head south and find a main road, there are a few other people heading in both directions on it. But again, once you've sort of gotten out past the city and past the surrounding hills, it kind of spreads out enough that you're walking by yourself. There's the occasional cart or like faster horse rider coming through. But especially at this late at night, it's pretty quiet. The only thing that is irritating is that after about sort of 3 hours of walking, as you're kind of looking for places to maybe settle down for a little bit, it starts raining. It starts out as a little drizzle, but it's the kind of drizzle that just kind of soaks into your clothes, and then it gets a bit heavier, and then it goes back to being a drizzle again, and it's...
As we're going, can we be looking out for any sort of thing that's going to be like a decent bit of shelter for our camp? Because I think once it starts raining, and we've already been going 3 hours, we're going to be knackered, aren't we?
Yeah.
The problem with rain is it's not like snow. Snow just sort of settles on you and it doesn't sort of soak in. Rain. Ugh.
And this has been weather with Oren.
You okay there, pal?
Would you like a hug, Oren?
Yeah.
Tuna gives Oren a hug and some guidance for rain.
Aww.
Gwendolyn like walks along next to Juna and Oren like with her arm like above them to kind of like she's also doing arm exercises, but she's also trying to like shield them from the rain a bit.
And Kidu has his shield on top of his head.
Guy takes off his cloak and like throws it over Oren's shoulders. Aww. It's a bit too big for him.
Thank you.
Gwendolyn, you're welcome to make a survival check, and I'll give it to you with advantage to. If you're all kind of looking for somewhere slightly sheltered to set up camp.
I'll send Aggie up to help look.
14.
14. So there are a few trees and things around that you think might sort of offer enough, if it were to get heavier, it would offer enough shade. But the trouble is that where it's a fairly open space, the Noble Pastures, like a lot of the rain is almost coming in like slightly sideways, being dragged by the wind. Eventually you keep looking, and there is, by the time you were all completely soaked, you do find as the sort of almost like a little valley type thing that the road winds through. And you think if you sit in one of like the little nooks to the side of the road there and cover it over, it's going to be okay enough that some of you will be able to sleep at least.
This should do. It's not the best place I've ever found, but maybe if I grab some branches out from over here as well, we can kind of make ourselves a bit more of a makeshift shelter.
Yeah, let's try.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's see where we can do the help.
Shall I brew us a twain tide to warm us all up?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Aggie, get over here.
Aggie waddles over. Gas burner on.
So you're all settling for the evening. Take turns, sort of sit and watch, having a cup of tea, chatting to each other. Is there anything specific anyone wants to talk about?
I'm going to start casting Find Familiar.
Yeah, amazing.
Not something I particularly need to talk about, but I would love if I could start having a look at Alfie's notebook, if possible. Mm-hmm. The page that we've ripped out of the notebook.
Yeah, because it's all in Alfie's own notes, right?
Yeah, it's all in Alfie's own notes. So all the P's and B's are swapped and Q's are missing and six and nines are in a muddle.
Oh, yeah.
Do we see that you're doing this?
Yeah, I'm not doing it secretly. Yeah.
In which case, June is going to come up with the sort of, it'll be, I guess, a small amount of frosting that she has left that she stole from Berryfield and say to Orin, like, if you need this to work on.
Oh, thank you very much. Here yeah, it is. I've got a little bit here as well. But
how abracalads of
a bit more might be useful.
So I'll give that to you, Orin.
Thank
so you.
You
now have all the frosting.
Amazing.
Amazing. Yeah, Orin, if you want to make an... It depends. Are you going to use... Because you've got a way to translate things, don't you?
I do. Let me just see if I have it prepared. I do.
In which case, I'm happy for you to use that and spend the time sort of copying it over.
Yeah, I've got my Quill of Comprehend Languages.
There you go.
That he made. So I can ritually cast that as well, I believe, for 10 minutes. And then copy it into one of my books, if I can. Or...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it takes a bit of time. And obviously some of that is the way that Alfie has sort of scribbled notes across the page. It's not necessarily like a straight page of text. It's another notebook. So trying to like mimic those. And even once you've copied it over, it then takes you a little while to understand exactly what it is that that you're looking at. But if you make a straight intelligence check for me.
Straight intelligence.
I mean, it's a little bit like asking you to hold up some fingers, really.
And I've got Juna's guidance. You said I had guidance, didn't you, Vicky?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. It's not good.
It's
really not good. Hang on, let me...
It's not good. It's only 26.
Well, no, this is just great intelligence. This is really not good, guys. Let me just flash of genius that as well. I rolled a 2 and a 3 from the guidance, plus 5 from the flash of genius. So we're up to 15.
Wow.
15.
What a save.
Okay. So, yeah, you understand most of it. There is still a question about quantities of ingredients and solutions and things. But... like you know what it is that you need to be able to brew your own frosting neutralization agent.
Ooh.
Amazing.
Yeah. We'll add that to the list. I'll send you over some more information about like how exactly to brew it. But essentially, yeah, like during a long rest, if you spend a bit of time, as you would with any other like alchemical creation, spend a bit of time making it. Then you'll be making like small potions of like anti-frosting.
And in terms of, I don't need to go into all the details of the ingredients, but are they things that I might have on me or are they things I'm going to need to get?
Yeah, most of it is stuff that you've got. And especially having like a sample of frosting as well, that's going to help out quite a long way. There's one or two little things that you think you might need to buy, but yeah, mostly you think you could, if you were to sit and do it now, for instance, there'd be a chance of failing because you're not entirely sure on some of the notes, but you have confidence that you should be able to make some.
Amazing! I will report back to the group my discoveries.
Well, that sounds very useful.
Yeah, very useful.
Yeah,
could help a lot of people with that.
Well,
if you do want to try it out, Orin, I currently don't have any secrets that I know of. If you want to try it out on me at any point.
Oh, cool.
In a safe environment, obviously.
But if this is anti-frosting, would it have that effect?
Well, no, hopefully not. But just in case it didn't
well,
work.
Well, I mean, I'd then give Juna some frosting.
I understand.
Yeah.
If you want to test it, wouldn't it be better to test it on someone you don't particularly like? Rather than like, you know, a friend that could be like severely scarred. I mean, I'm not doubting your skill here, buddy. It's just like, you know, human trials often, you know, not always successful. Sorry, gnome trials. Sorry, Juna. Sorry.
Yeah, fair. Maybe I should do a little bit of lab testing first. But thank you, Juna.
Juna's got a pretty sturdy constitution.
Yeah.
That's true.
Those shroom dogs went down a treat.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, hey, you know, I'm all for a show. So, you know, if June is willing, I'm okay. I'm just saying that as a possibility.
Well, challenge trials are a useful trial.
I appreciate you caring.
You need to get June frosted first and then unfrosted, right?
Yeah, or apply this first maybe and then give him a bit of frosting and see if it then has any effect.
I mean, I'm also always happy to try out a bit of frosting, you know, for science.
Well, that's true. We know that you're... what's the word?
Susceptible.
Slightly more susceptible, yes, absolutely, to frosting than others, maybe.
I'm the perfect trial person. What do you call them?
Guy side eyes Enkidu like, what?
Enkidu will shake his head. And does Orin have like a vial of the stuff with him?
No, I've not made any yet.
You haven't made any yet?
No, I've just been researching how it's going to happen.
Okay. In the spirit of openness, Enkidu will offer and say, look, there's a lot of things I'm still discovering about my new state of existence, but I know that I have an immunity to common diseases that affect people, and I have a resistance to things like things that are considered poison. And he has a quick look at Juno.
Turning into bullying now.
Do we not forget that like Juno poisoned Enkidu on the boat?
Like, yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about the worms.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the worms.
He's cooking still.
No. She poisoned him with the frosting in his tea.
That's fair.
Okay. That did happen.
Did attempt to drug her friend.
I conveniently forgot that.
Editor, feel free to leave that in.
Absolutely.
Yep, she spiked her friends, everyone. Let's all be clear.
After that, he will say, look, if there is an absolute need to test this at all, in order to protect other people from adverse effects to an experiment, I can put myself forward.
Oh, well, thanks. Could be useful. Lots of participants. Oh, we can do a blind study. I could give one of you it and one of you a fake version. And then, sorry.
Sounds like a good night.
Yeah, sure. Whenever you're ready, just let us know.
I've got one more thing to do as well while Orin's playing around with that then, which is I picked up some papers in that office.
Yeah.
Can I skim through them to see if there's anything of note?
You certainly can.
Ooh.
So you have a quick look. Most of them seem to be delivery confirmations in some way or other.
Okay.
Which they're interesting to read in and of themselves because they do seem to be a little bit coded. Nothing quite makes sense in the way that they're written. So in that, it's almost like a little game for you to figure out what exactly is going on. But you understand that, yeah, essentially it's certain items have been sent to certain places and received by people. But there is another note to Malleus that definitely catches your attention.
suspense!
Up to you whether or not you read that out loud.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Gaius? Or whether or not that's something that you keep to yourself.
I bet it's from his sister.
Thanks for saying that. Now he's not going to share.
I want to know so bad.
Guy will say it out loud.
Oh, what a character arc.
It says, butter, bread, milk, cheers.
Buttermilk, bread, cheers?
It's a shopping list.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. I'll read the actual thing.
Oh, you dickhead.
You flower plucker.
It says, Mal, where is my update? Was expecting news by now. One sample of this jumped up stuff isn't going to be enough. We're running out of time to clip the silver wings. Treya.
Who's Treya?
When Gwendolyn hears Gaius say Treya, she kind of tries to lock eyes with Gaius. Like, is this the time to start telling people about your family? Is what her eyes say.
Yeah. Guy will like let out a very like deep sigh and his shoulders will drop incredibly low. He'll look towards Gwen and his fingers will twitch and then he will tell the rest of the group everything that he told Gwendolyn, in all honesty. And he does this with a disclaimer of, look, okay, I don't like to talk about myself much, and this is coming from all honesty. And he's going to put his hand on that tattoo of his mum. This name keeps coming up wherever we're going, and it's starting to worry me, and I feel like you guys need to know the full story of this name in order to be safe. Because everything that I've told you now that is a lie is for that purpose. It's to keep you guys safe. But, and then he starts talking and recanting about him growing up in Thanehartha, which is in Aeland. His mum was the matriarch of a crime syndicate. A very successful crime syndicate that was at war with the Hex. So they weren't part of the Hex, but they were, you know, the biggest rivals in Aeland. They were known as the Van der Castellanes. And he had three siblings, half-siblings, because his mum was a bit of a player. And she didn't care who knew it. She obviously was with Gaius's father, who was an elf, so that caught, you know, is the result of his half-elfish heritage. There was another human who was the father of his other two half-brothers and sisters, which is Treya and Cassius. They are twins. They are sadistic twins. And he recounts this horrible story of being pushed downstairs when he was a kid by them and thrown rocks at, you know, rocks were thrown at him for fun by these two sadistic twins. And then there was a final one, which was a half-brother who was a half-orc called Brutus. One day, Gaius, who was a very, you know, partying sort of devil-may-care member of the family, got news that his mother had been killed by the Hex, and he uses quotation marks for that. And suddenly Brutus, you know, knocks him out cold, and the next thing he discovers is that he wakes up by an alley, in an alley, over a rushing, you know, sewer inlet. And Brutus says, "This has been a long time coming. This is from him and the twins," and he stabs him repeatedly, again and again and again, slashes him across the face, pushes his body, gasping for breath, into the sewage. Out he comes, out of Fainhartha, this bloodied, ragged body, and is, you know, looking up the stars by the lake, which is just outside of Fainhartha, looking up the stars, expecting to see his last, when suddenly he hears a jingle, and he hears a tune, and he hears merriment somehow, and he is lifted off the ground by these hands, these very warm, soft hands. And after a couple of days of touch and go, he's healed, it seems, by a travelling performance troupe who, you know, take pity on him and scurry him out of Aeland because they're on tour, goes through various, you know, boats and shipping lanes and things with them until they arrive in Drevane. They are his saviours, and he's so grateful for them. And they part ways in Drevane, but not before they give him their second best loot, which, frankly, is not the best kind of loot, because even their best loot, they're not a rich bunch here. And he is so grateful for them that, you know, he spent his days thieving and, you know, pickpocketing and just for fun. You know, he wasn't a poverty-stricken kid. He was wealthy. He just did it for fun. He snuck into people's houses for fun because he knew if the worst came to worst, his mum would always back him up. His family would always back him up. But now that protection's gone, and the troop went off on their merry way, and he was just stood in a crossroads in the pouring rain, and he hearkens to the sky as it is now, very much like a night it is now. And he had a decision to make where he should go. And before he could even start thinking about it, his feet just started walking. And he hoped that wherever his feet would take him, it would be to lead to his full potential, to his greatness, as his mum once promised. And he started to learn the lute then, which is the reason why his charisma is so shit. He's only just starting out, gang. And he worries. He thought that, you know, Treya and Cassius, who he assumes have now taken over the family business, were far away, far, far away. And he thought he would never have to hear them ever again. But first the name turns up in Burying Fields. Next it turns up here. We keep bumping into the Hex. The Hex have dealings with this family. And he's nervous that he's going to make enemies where he'd rather not. But he trusts you guys, which has taken a long time for him to do with anyone. Because when you're on the road, as you all know, and he looks towards Orin, he looks towards Enkidu and Juna, the safest thing is to not trust anyone and just to rely on yourself. And he's really, really sorry that he didn't say this sooner. And that's his story.
During all of this, like, Gwendolyn's kind of had her kind of hand on Gaius's back and just like been comforting him, but like giving him space when he needs it, but just like pats of like, well done, this is really great, I'm so glad you're sharing.
And once he's done, Juna just goes up to him, gives him a hug until he wants to let go, and just says, you have to say these things when it's right for you. You have nothing to be sorry about, but I'm glad that we can share this with you.
And Kidu will solemnly and stoically nod. But not be part of the group hug. He would just just nod.
Orin will go in and hug. Like I said the other day, there's new family here, hopefully, for you. I'm sorry that the old family is popping up quite so much, though. Still.
I just wanted to, like, get it off my chest and, you know, make sure that you guys were safe. Because, like you say, Orin, you and I are technically family, but yeah. And he gestures to all these guys because there's a big lump in his throat. He can't get the words out.
Oh, guys.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. The Fate Marked Five have made their way to episode 50. And we honestly couldn't have done it without all you wonderful listeners. So thank you all for being honorary Abraca lads, and bring on the next 50 episodes. Ben Galpin and special guest Robbie Bellacom will be in superfan Sam's hot seat for the upcoming recording of No Small Questions. Patrons can join us live in the Zoom for the recording on the 21st of February 2022 at 8 p.m. GMT. You can get all your Orin and Alfie questions to us via our usual social media, that's at No Small Roles on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find us on Facebook simply by searching No Small Roles. And if you want to come and join us on our lovely Discord, then you can find the link in the show notes. As always, we'd love you to help us spread the No Small Roles joy by recommending us to people you know. But you can also recommend us to strangers. But before you start shouting about us on the street, perhaps you could tell strangers about us by dropping us a review and rating on iTunes and other such podcast reviewing places. That's all from me for now. Let's get you back to the campfire.
So, yeah, this letter is basically saying that, my family have got dealings with them. I've got dealings with the people we just met, and the rest is all this, like, you know, weird, encrypted sort of orders and deliveries and things like that for various things. There's, to Stuber, received by Little Brother in the toy, the sky, Academic O in Last Call, received by Rings in Red Lorraine. So it's a bit encrypted, but, you know, it might be a cipher here that we could maybe work out. David, is there a way of maybe, like, thinking of a cipher to work this out at all? Or is it just too little information?
First of all, does anyone speak Thieves' Cant at all?
Oh, wait.
Do I?
I do.
No, I don't.
Anyone that does.
I don't know if I've ever even heard of it.
So each of the notes basically says, like, lots... like a number of lots to something received by someone in a space, in a place. What you realize is that the two, for instance, one of them says lots A67 to 72 to room tunics received by Academic O in Lost Call. Looking at it, you know that the two is an anagram. That's a jumbled up word. Academic O is just a code word for a contact. And Lost Call looks like it might be some kind of rhyming slang.
Rostal.
And Brutus.
Yeah, Brutus is little brother, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, well, he's brother, but don't get me wrong, he's like the biggest of all of us.
Of course.
Oh, that's the anagram for Stuber.
Yeah, I'll read out the whole lot for everyone.
Thanks.
So it's the three notes say, lots A67 to 72 to room tunics, received by Academic O in Lost Call. Lots D138 and D194 to Stu Burr, received by Little Brother in Toy the Sky. And lot 066 to DR Lycan, due to be received by Rings in Red Lorraine.
Medravane. And these are warehouses, I assume, where the stuff is being held. And each person with an anagram is holding dominion over these warehouses, I assume.
Yeah, they could be like the big honcho in that town.
Yeah.
So, received by Little Brother in Toy the Sky. Toy the Sky, where's that?
Toy the Sky.
Academic O. Wasn't Klein's scholar was called Duskin Oratrix?
Oratrix.
Oh, yeah.
We never met
the
them, but...
fucking faceless foot... No, I'm kidding. Okay, but,
Toy the Sky is Miravai, right?
It's Miravai.
Oh, close enough?
Do we have to go through Miravai at some point?
Well, I do.
Is that just different ways of pronouncing it? Or are they two different places?
Toy the Sky seems a bit too specific to... It doesn't sound like, if we're going by the Thieves' Cant of rhyming slang, it doesn't sound like Miravai.
If anyone wants to make either a straight intelligence or a history check, I suppose, to try to figure out some locations.
I have proficiency in history, but a minus one to intelligence. I don't think I'll...
Can we, all of us, or just some of us?
One person with advantage, I'll say, because you're all sort of contributing.
I think maybe... Orin sounds like a good person to
hang on,
do
let
this.
Me have a let me have a little think.
He's spent his splashes.
I'm happy to roll.
I'm not really high, but I'm okay in terms of history.
Do it.
Go for it, guy.
Rolling with advantage.
And June's going to give him guidance.
Yeah. Ooh,
hot damn, that's useful. It's a D4, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, first one's a 10. That's not good. Okay. 16?
Ooh, 16. Okay. It's not necessarily somewhere that you've been, but... Especially, Gaius, as you came down sort of via the coast of Aeland to get into Dravain at all, you are aware of the city called Foydarai.
Oh, okay.
Which is on sort of the northern shore of Dravain.
Okay.
Oh, it's just... Oh, hang on. Yeah, Foydarai. That's just north of the Golden Forest on this handy map.
I see. Egil is obviously like perching over Armin's shoulder. Yeah, I see what you mean there.
Well, it seems like the Vendor Castellines are trying to get influence in northern Dravain.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they go toe-to-toe with the Hex, who have, you know, basically got a monopoly on this place, so...
Okay.
And how long ago were these transactions made? Because we know about Rostal. That was a few weeks ago.
Well, they were on his desk, so I presume they're still, like, you know, present business.
Yes.
They're not, like, tidied away in a filing cabinet or something.
But they've happened in the past. The past tense of received. So these transactions have been completed.
Do you think this is building into the bigger picture of, like, you know, Berrien Fields and, you know, all the political use of the spice and stuff?
Yeah, of course.
Well, they're running out of time to clip the silver wings.
Yeah.
The silver wings, were they Berrien's symbol?
Thinking back, as you'd entered Berrien Fields, all of the flags were red with a pair of silver wings on.
So they're trying to clip Berrien's wings. So they're against Berrien?
Seems so.
Because Berrien's in with the Hex. Didn't Guy say that his family were rivals to the Hex?
Yeah.
Well,
and if
but
they
sounds
were...
like Trey is now the head of the Hex.
Which doesn't make sense.
Does it?
Doesn't? Why doesn't it make sense?
Why does Trey have to be head of the Hex? Sorry?
Because she's the one who's writing the letters in giving orders to people from the Hex.
We don't know that has to be...
Well, not the head, but she's somewhere up in the Hex, rather than against them.
Yeah.
Guys, help us out here.
David, have we... I'm just trying to recap, like, on the letter in Berrien Fields as well.
Mm-hmm.
But did it sound like that they were in a, like, a business sort of relationship with the Hex? Or was it more towards, you know, trying to do one up on the Hex?
No, it sounded like she'd been, as Grace was saying, like giving orders on their behalf.
Okay.
Yeah, the note that you'd found on them was essentially directing them to where they could find Alec Ludder and like giving them information for the target.
Okay, so that seems like maybe a deal was done and now the Vendor Castellines are incorporated into the hex. I don't know, merger. I don't know. I can't remember what the phrasing would be, but yeah, maybe they're all on the same team now. And maybe Treya and them are all in cahoots.
I mean, the Hex do like to move in and try and take control of their rivals.
And how does a gang spread? You dissolve another gang and take it over.
Yeah. Push people off roofs.
Maybe the Vanda Castellines are now the part of the Hex now, like you say.
It does sound like that if she's giving orders on behalf of them.
Yeah.
Guy's just... The colour in his face drops even more behind the mask. Maybe that's why my mom died. Maybe a deal was made that if Treya and Cassius took over the family business, that they would be incorporated into the Hex.
And your mother was the last obstacle.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Mom hated the Hex.
With good reason.
Well, she was no angel herself, but she was more like, you know, competitive. But yeah, maybe that's why.
There's something else we're missing here. We don't have all the pieces. This is should enlighten a few things, but there's something else. I'm not seeing it yet.
If they want to stop Beryon, then who are they working for?
And are they in cahoots with the Wingthrups if they're up near the Golden Forest?
Perhaps.
Who was supplying the frosting to Beryon? It was coming...
Come from Wardenars.
Alec Ludder.
From the Wardenars, Alec Ludder, but he wasn't Hex, was he?
No, that's why they wanted to teach him a lesson, because he was moving in on their patch.
So Beryon's getting his frosting from Ludder, was getting his frosting from Ludder anyway at one point. The Hex are trying to make more frosting because they were trying to get Alfie to make the fungus thing that then could like make a small quantity of frosting into lots of frosting.
Well, Beryon already at that time had enough for the villages we saw on the way through to the north, that there were quite a few soldiers spreading the stuff around.
Yeah, there was a lot of frosting. Well, there was lots in that room.
They had it by the sackful.
Yeah. Yes.
Plenty. I put my whole hand in.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I remember that.
Hey, Kido, with your studies in like the royal court and all that sort of stuff, like what's the time scale here? Like all this building up of like frosting and stuff. Like, I know there's like a, you know, keeping my ear to the ground here, like there's a, you know, a transitional period at the moment with like a steward and all the kings and stuff like that. Like, is there going to be any like big event or things that this is all wrapping up to where, you know, a successor is going to be chosen and all this frosting and all these soldiers and stuff is going to be at its most essential?
See, this is a gap in my knowledge. See, between me being at the palace and the royal selection, I can't account for my whereabouts for 6 years. So in that time span, anything could have happened. And I personally didn't know about frosting until we got to Beryon's field.
Okay, so question. Do we want to tell Heron about all this as well?
They are linked.
He's got influence. Doesn't mean he's necessarily a bad influence, but, you know, he's got ears in them circles, I assume, being a part of the consortium.
There's also one other person we could ask, and he looks around. Erida.
Yeah, thought you might say that.
She's either... The worst thing she can say is no.
Well, the worst thing she could say is that information is restricted to higher-ranking family members.
That is the worst thing she can say, yes.
Which is still no. And then we'll be no better off than where we are now. I mean, we're still going to Heron anyway with questions, so...
How comfortable do you feel contacting her? Do you feel like the more... What if you contact her more and more often and it makes the link stronger and stronger? I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Neither do I. But this is nagging me. This is important because it's everywhere where we're going, underneath the workings of everything. And this is also part of what we're trying to uncover. This conspiracy, this link. And the consortium, we're seeing signs that the two are linked. The consortium and the Hex and the Frosting.
Yeah.
What's the link with the consortium?
Well, maybe this is my own personal pet theory, but like Omnitrix, who is nowhere to be seen back in Rostal.
Of course.
But then the consortium are potentially the people that Heron was saying are doing stuff wrong, potentially in cahoots with the Wingthrups, because that's what we've been sent to uncover.
No, Erida is a part of...
She was a founding member, yes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
But there is a conspiracy within the current members of the consortium, which link back to their founding, but also the current lords in the succession race Beren especially have links to massive criminal organizations which have a power to control the populace. But also what we discovered in Rostal, that there's a potential link between a current consortium member, Clayne Yvette, and his assistant, Oratrix, were possibly working with the Hex, because they didn't seem all that too surprised to see Arryn disguised as Clayne trying to get into the warehouse. So again, this is just a theory for me. There's nothing confirmed because things went south.
So you say that room tunics, that's an anagram for something.
Mm.
What's it an anagram for?
So, yeah. So hang on. Just going back to the thing. So we got lots A67 to 72 to room tunics.
Which is an anagram for something.
Received by Academic O.
Which we think is Oratrix.
In Rostal. So what is it and who is it going to? Six of something going to room tunics.
It might be something we have to think on over a rest.
Yeah. Because just thinking like to that third one guy, that lot 066, that's just one thing. I'm thinking that's that big stone cylinder. There was a big stone cylinder in Medrivain.
Yeah.
And there was only one big stone cylinder, so that would make sense. It was only one lot.
Lots, isn't that kind of what people who do like antiques they call?
Yeah, yeah,
yes,
yeah,
like auctions or
that stone cylinder makes sense to me, Orin.
Mm.
We're definitely missing like another piece of the puzzle to add further to this. But this is all like really, really fascinating to like start seeing the strings across the map.
So the rings in this lot. 066, that's the sort of cryptic part.
Due to be received by rings.
Question to you, DM. Malleus, did he have a lot of rings on? I know he had a fancy suit.
Malleus didn't, but the person that Orin saw leaving with the rod did.
Thank you, DM.
You're welcome.
Oh, so the guy, yeah, the slightly sweaty guy. I think he was sweaty. Have I made that up?
No, he was. He was quite sweaty.
He had a lot of rings. So that's got to be that stone cylinder thing. DM, did I do a check at the time to have any idea what that stone cylinder was about?
I think Alfie had a quick check to see it, but I don't think you actually saw much of it.
No.
It was being wrapped up.
It was a metre and a half in length and it was covered in carvings, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was going to DR Liching. So that's an anagram for something.
Yeah.
And we don't know what.
And the DR could be mean that it's a doctor, or that could be part of the anagram.
Oh, yeah.
Retcon moment, DM. I know that obviously we're looking at the D and the R being both capitals. Is that on purpose?
Maybe.
Cool.
Maybe.
You escape room, son of a bitch.
Okay. So just to recap. So we've got lots A67 to 72 to room tunics received by Academic O in Lost Call. We don't know what that is. We don't know who it's going to. We think it's received by Scholar Duskan Oratrix in Rostal.
Yes.
Then we've got lots D138 and D194. Mm. So only two things. Not, I thought that was a whole load of things. I misread it. To Stubar, Brutus, received by Little Brother. Do we?
Which could be Cassius? Brutus again. Or Cassius, yeah, depending on.
Oh, no, oh yeah. Brutus Cassius is the youngest.
Brutus is the youngest, but it depends if they're twins who were born like a couple of minutes after each other.
Well, okay, the eldest was Cassius and Treya. I don't know who came first between those two. And then it goes Brutus, and then it goes me.
Okay, so unless you received a package in full Foyderai, did you receive two packages in Foyderai?
Me?
Yeah.
Guessing no.
I don't know.
David's face, like...
Unless it's your loot, I don't think it's you. So we're not sure who Little Brother is, I'm thinking then.
But also, it could still be Brutus. It could be delivered to him and received by him.
Maybe, yeah. And then the final one we think is the stone cylinder to DR Lichin. Haven't figured that out. Received by the ring guy in Medrivain. That's what we've got so far.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, it's been a long day. Maybe we need to sleep on it to try and work it out.
Yeah.
Like you say.
Yeah.
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 Who wants to take first watch?
I'll do it.
I'll do it with you as well.
I will. I've got Ruana nearly back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you've been half listening and half fiddling around with your stuff. Uh-huh.
You guys are going to lose your shit when Ruana comes back.
Well, feel free to wake me up for another watch when you get tired.
Yeah, me too. Okay, you better.
Now stay up.
Yeah, okay.
And me? I've got to wait till an hour's passed. Has an hour passed, David?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. During all of this, like, basically as soon as you'd settled into camp, you started ritualising, so it's absolutely fine.
So then, yeah, I can stay up, I can go to bed, but before I go to bed, Ruana comes back.
Yay, Ruana!
I'll check this with Baby David. Ruana's coming back as a homebrew.
Ooh.
As a micro owlbear.
What? What is that?
Just for fun, this has been made by Never Not DM, and I've just sent you a link. Because micro owlbears exist now.
Oh my god, adorable.
Oh my god, that thing is cute.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's sturdy.
That is so cool.
Sturdier than Ruana.
Tiny monstrosity.
It is Ruana.
Oh, Ruana only had like one hit point before, right? And she just died all the time. But this one has 7 and AC of 12. So
but Ruana's changed depending on what creature she's.
Oh, okay. I thought she just had universally, no matter what form, 1. Okay, cool.
No, she is. Yeah.
Are we going to release this for our patrons when this episode comes out?
Yeah, we'll slap it up every because it's been made by Never Not DM. I'm going to give them a big old shout out.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not ours, no.
Amazing.
It's Never Not DM's.
We shall share links to it.
Yeah, they've done such a cute job and like the art on it as well.
So and the great. Art is by Conai03.
Aww.
This is why I've been waiting episodes to get her back. Because I found this and was like, ah!
Oh, that is, wow.
Super cute.
That is so cute. Aww.
So yeah, you all spend the evening resting up, taking turns on a watch. Yeah, is there anything else as the night passes that you'd like to do?
I would like to, just on our watch, while me and Enkidu are just quietly sat near each other, just have a quick word with him, if that's all right. Mm. Enkidu?
Mm-hmm?
Listen, tonight's been a very lot of truth-telling, and I feel like I need to sort of, like, clear the air and make sense of how what happened with you and how I've been dealing with it.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know if you know this, but I haven't been particularly warm to you since...
No, I noticed.
Look, it's you know now my history with trust, and long story short, I didn't trust you when that all happened. I didn't trust that you were who you were. I didn't trust that you were there for our good intentions. And before the event of your death, and he pauses just after that. Not sure how to phrase that. You know, I trusted you. You were scary at times, but you know, you were like a brother. Like, I trusted you in that, like, I knew who you were. And that completely collapsed. And I didn't know who this person was. Because it was a lot, buddy. It was a lot to, like, see you there on the floor. And I don't tell the truth often, but when we were asked that question, I told the truth, and I feel in part to blame for what happened to you. Because I don't tell the truth often, but I did that time, for the hell of it, and that was the result.
Well, for starters, it took a lot, I can tell, for you to come out and tell us that. Now, you say you tell a lot of lies, but you tell them well. I've not been able to catch a single one out because I've not been watching for that guy. So I just assumed you just spun whatever stories you needed to tell to make yourself feel better, feel safe.
Yeah.
And of course, when we're most physically isolated is when we feel the most vulnerable. And we throw whatever we have around ourselves to make us feel safe. Make ourselves feel safe, so I understand that. I appreciate that. Thank you for sharing that. Before we went into that maze, Gwendolyn and I were the last ones to go in. She was hesitant about going inside. And we all chose to enter that maze. We all knew it was a lion's den. But finding out the truth was way more important. We had come together so far together that the risk is worth it because we had each other. We'd keep each other alive the best we can. Now, no one's struggling more than what's happened to me more than me. I promise you that. But I have to confess that I've not fully taken into account how this has affected everyone else. I'm having a hard time coming to terms with what I am, what I've become. But I guess what I really want to say is don't blame yourself. I went into that maze, we all did. So, thanks, I guess. I'm not really good at this.
No, I'm not good at this either. Like, you know, Gwendolyn is great at this and June is great at this and Orin, despite his, like, you know, protests, is kind of okay at telling the truth. But, like, look, I've been trying to do things just to, like, test the waters to see who you are and to see if I can trust you. Like, I jumped off a freaking waterfall just to see if you would catch me.
You bastard. I knew it.
You didn't catch me, to be fair, but you didn't heal me, and you slapped me, which I did think was, to be fair, very Enkidu. And, like, you cared for how we let go of the elementals, and you, like, sought to help Elfie, and, like, more and more, you've been proving yourself to be Enkidu, even though I don't know what you are, but you are my friend, and I feel like you deserve that truth. And it's been hard for me to let go of the idea of the creation being the creator, you know, you being part of Erida.
Yeah.
How can I trust you? But more and more, I'm starting to see that the creation is not the creator, you know?
I see.
And I think you're living proof of that. And there's a part of me that goes, hey, if you stab us in the back, I'm going to gut you like a fish. But more and more, I'm thinking there's no way that you would want to do that. And I just hope that, yeah, my hope. That you're my friend. And I can see it from the actions you do. Not just the words you say, but the actions that you do that you are.
Yeah. And I want my deeds to define who I am. I don't know who I am, where I came from, even before all this. But I do get a say in what I choose to do. And who I choose to do these things for from now on. So I choose to stay by you, protect you. And everyone else, no matter where we go. So, if we're going to hold on to any kind of hope that you can trust that.
Thanks, buddy. Now give him a hug.
And Keely would slowly return it.
There you go. Just ease into it. That's okay.
So the rest of the night passes without any issue. You all swap over watch. The rain carries on through the whole of the next day. And as you set off following the path, you get to a point that there is a crossroads. Quite literal crossroads. With a sign pointing in four different directions.
Ooh.
Back to Medrivane.
No, thank you.
You could go southeast to Forlost Vale. Directly south to Vernock Rise. Or more of a westward to Rosthall.
Not Rosthall.
Vernock.
Not Rise.
I'm just going to shake the post just to make sure it's definitely a post and not like some evil Wizard of Oz level, you know?
Yeah, no, it is. And even to the point that as you're shaking it, you like another couple on horseback sort of come trotting by. They're like, can you stop that, please? We're trying to read. More lost fail that way. Okay, wonderful. Thank you. And carries on.
Akidu will have a deep sigh as his hand reaches out. Lets his finger trace the sign for Forlost Vale. He clenches his fist and says, yeah, I think Vernock Rise would probably be the smartest thing to do. The place to go, I mean.
Yes, as our next stop, but Forlost Vale would be interesting to go to afterwards.
Four spoons up for grabs there.
Yeah.
That's true. Four spoons. If we can get two in Vernock Rise, four in Forlost Vale, we only need one more.
Ooh.
Akidu looks at Gaius and says, spoons. Yes.
Yep, absolutely. We're going for the spoons. We're delivering our message, buddy. We're getting our money, and then we're going for them spoons. And then he just like wipes his hands clean, like, yep, not our problem once we get that dough.
And Kido cracks his knuckles. Yep. Yeah.
Gwendolyn just as blankly like she missed a joke.
So you're all heading to Vernock Rise, is that mm-hmm. right?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, let's split the party.
Oh, great.
Why not?
Yes, please, Vernock Rise.
Yeah, so you you cross the crossroads, continue on the way. Again, the sky is just grey and grim, and it's making the road itself quite muddy as you're walking along. It doesn't help that, again, occasionally there's a cart that comes by and just churns up the path as well. But you keep trudging along until it gets to the following evening. Where again, yeah, you find a vaguely sheltered spot to settle down in for another rest. Again, a very wet rest.
This is getting miserable.
Yeah, this isn't nice, is it?
No. Is it like just normal rain, or is it something? Is there something like? Is it?
Yeah, it's just normal rain. There's nothing in it that is saying to you that it's magical in any way.
Zombie
it's
animals just, or anything?
No. It's just that kind of like, yeah, late spring downpour type of a thing. Yeah.
And Kido's prestidigitate in his clothes. So get all the mud off the armor.
Yeah, this is.
It's not fun, is it?
No.
Another cup of tea.
Yes, please. shall I have a go with? Hang on. Oren's gonna spend some time if he can that evening. Gonna attempt to make some of the anti-frosting stuff if he can.
Oh, yeah, please do.
Nice.
Make an intelligence check. Just intelligence,
not alchemists. I don't get to use my alchemist's
tools. Oh, you've got alchemist's tools, don't you? Oh, yeah, add in your alchemist's tools.
Yeah, thank you.
You've got all the tools.
Okay, that's better. 27.
Of course.
I'm not even going to say it this time.
Don't make me make it a 32.
Go on then.
Abracadabra. As you are sat there, first of all, you do realise that you don't have some of the ingredients.
Okay.
But then, in your little creative way, you grab a couple of other little bits, start mushing them together, grind them down, add a bit of water, and suddenly you realise, oh, actually, you've got something like a semblance, a swap out.
Do you need any lavender?
Oh, yeah, that might be useful. Hang on. Whack a bit of lavender in.
Amazing.
Gives it a nice smell.
So, yeah, by the end of... sort of about an hour's worth of bubbling away, you have one Ooh. Potion of anti-frosting.
Yeah.
Well done.
Anti-frosting, it sounds like what you put in your car.
De-ices,
yeah.
Amazing. Okay, I think that's done it. Ta-da!
Yay!
I've only made one, so maybe we don't do our... rigorous testing of it right now and just see in an emergency if it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I trust you, Oren.
Thanks.
I trust you, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty savvy.
Pretty certain it will work.
But it is Alfie's concoction, right?
Yeah, with a couple of
sometimes they go a bit wrong.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to explode.
It's not going to set us on fire.
No, it's not got any sort of flammable solvents anywhere near it.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks pretty innocuous.
Can I ask, who is taking second watch?
Me. I'll take watch with you, Gwen.
I'll go last and just stay up the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm. Guy is very much, isn't he?
Guy is snoring away.
Yeah, I'll assume I took the first one while I was making the potion.
Yeah. What are the two of you talking about? Whilst Enkidu's kind of like half sat, powered down in a corner.
Juna, yeah. I realised when I asked you to send a message to my father, I forgot you to ask about Carhilda. I wonder if maybe you could just send him a little message just to check in and just maybe ask who Carhilda is, but maybe like in a real casual way.
Gwendolyn, what's your passive perception?
I knew it. I knew as soon as you said who's the second people on that. Damn you, David.
12. And Juno, what's yours?
11.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, no.
Oh, brilliant.
So as you finish asking the question, and Juno, you look to respond, there is a sudden, like, thump. directly behind you, Gwendolyn.
Oh, shit. I spin around to see what it was.
And you see a half-orc.
Oh.
Goggles on his face.
Oh.
Crossbow in his hand.
Oh.
Sat on the back of a giant spider.
That doesn't sound good.
And the giant spider grabs the back of your cloak, Gwendolyn, and jumps away.
Can I jump too? Is there enough time for me to jump or for me to throw Ruana at Gwendolyn?
Make a dexterity check.
Yeah?
Also, even if Enkidu is powered down, he can be fully cognizant.
Oh.
Yeah, so I would have noticed something.
You're like,
happened.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So the spider's grabbed me?
Yep, and jumped away.
No, get up. I tried to kick it.
Everyone wake up, get up, get up.
14.
Help!
14? That's not like you do throw Ruana, but... By the time the spider has leapt up, Ruana just like tumbling across the ground.
You're throwing your new baby owlbear at
them. Oh my gosh.
But that's where we're going to end the episode.
Bounty hunters.
I thought we were going to end the episode with a lovely message to your dad.
I know.
When.
I was so looking forward to that. Bounty hunters.
Oh shit.
Bounty hunters, oh no.
At first I was like, oh, it's a nice orc that's like killed this spider that was about to kill us. No, they're riding the spider.
Yeah, they're buddies.
Love it.
They're buddies.
But I'm wearing dungarees. How can they tell who I am?
You have been listening to David Knight as your dungeon master, Ben Galpin as Orin, Chris Watts as Gaius, Daryl Bailey as Enkidu, Grace Kelly Miller as Gwendolyn, and Vicky Gaskin as Juna. Original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. Anon for now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.